The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
In your soul. It does. It settles in your soul. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa, Jefferson State of Mine, M-I-N-E. M-I-N-E. Here with Backward Hat Man. How you doing, buddy?
It's a beautiful morning. Good morning.
It is. We have two great guests this morning, Patricia and Dominic Santangelo. How are you doing?
Good. Good morning.
We're broadcasting live from KCNR Studios in downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM, where we sound better. We're broadcasting live and podcasting all over the world. You can hear us streaming live at KCNR1460.com. That's KCNR1460.com, and we archive forever and ever. If you have a question or a comment about today's subject, the phone number is 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567, or if that line is busy, 4566, if 4567 is busy. So here we are. Good morning, you two. Dominic is the president of the Shasta County Republican Assembly. I have a lot of CRAs and CFRs and all this other stuff. So a lot of times then you have the California Rifle and Pistol Association. I am so tired of acronyms, I can't tell you. You know?
Yeah.
Everything's an acronym.
It's tough.
Okay. I got a test for you. What is POTUS? What does that stand for?
President of the United States.
Okay. What does EPA stand for?
Environmental Protection Agency.
Okay. How about this one? E-L-M-E-R-F-U-D-D.
I don't know.
E-L-M-E-R-F-U-D-D. What does that stand
for? Elmer Fudd.
Huh. See? You like that, Hat Man? You like that?
I like that. I like that. All right. I got one for you.
Okay.
What about OJ?
Murder?
Orange Jesus.
Oh. Oh.
If you were listening to Nick's show this morning.
Oh, yeah.
The guy that they're appointing for the
Elections
Commission, he called Trump an orange Jesus.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, we are going to talk about all things schools today. And what I want to do is bring up something right away. I'm going to lay the groundwork a little bit. And then I'm going to turn it over to Patricia, who is, in my opinion, an expert on all this stuff. There was a Title IX lawsuit that was put forward. And the plaintiffs were the Young American Foundations, the Female Athletes United, and the Moms for Liberty. What it does is it grants a preliminary injunction relief from Title IX non-discrimination on the basis of sex in education programs or activities, and that receives any kind of federal assistance. That's what that case does. So in other words, you don't have to apply, if you have kids in a school, and those kids, Johnny wants to be Joanne and goes and plays volleyball and wants to shower and stuff. They can't do it under this. Now, there are four states that actually this pertains to as far as states themselves: Kansas, Alaska, Utah, and Wyoming. Also, it applies to the plaintiff organizations. So if you're a parent and you're a member of the Young American Foundations or the Female Athletes United, or the Moms for Liberty, you actually can go in and go to your school, fill out some information, and tell them that they can't be doing this and they can't be they have to adhere to the ruling against the Title IX new directives by the Biden administration. So that's something that you can look at. Now, the thing is that, and where some of the confusion is, at least it was for me, is this is all federal money. This isn't state money. This isn't state law. This isn't even state policy. This is about the feds. And granted, it does do that one thing, but when you have 5,000 things that they're throwing at you, including a lot of the laws that, Patricia, you actually researched for us, thank you for that, including all those laws, how do we rescind those laws by using this information? Now, one thing, too, I want to bring up, and I'm going to want to get your feedback on this. The schools won't be notified, and the districts won't be notified that they have had this issue. In other words, that they're one of the schools that would be, they won't tell the parents that the particular school does not have to adhere to the Biden administration situation they have with Title IX. So the problem is that a school may adopt a policy that mirrors the Biden administration Title IX rewrite. Now, if they do that, what recourse do you have? And I guess that's some of the questions I'm throwing out there. So if you have information on this, feel free to call in and straighten this out. But I want to get your take on all of this, because it seems as if, you know, you're looking at federal money only, but how do we get back to our counties? How do we get back to our state? And of course, there's another lawsuit going on, AB 1955, the assembly bill here that we're trying to stop this ridiculous thing they have going with girls and boys being in the same locker room, et cetera. I want to get your take on that, Patricia. What do you think about this whole menagerie?
Really? You know what I think. I think all these laws, fighting these laws, is a waste of time. That's my feeling. I think that, you know, you can fight one and get a victory, and then another law is right there ready and waiting for you to fight. And it's just a constant battle. And, you know, so we managed to stop them from hiding things from parents about our children's gender choices. Okay, that's one victory. We still have 299 to go. And just getting rid of that one is not going to fix the problem. There's still so much more to go. I mean, if you listened to Becky Pringle, the NEA president, and her speech a month ago, needing all the things. And, I mean, this woman is off the rails. And the NEA is pretty much in charge of the Department of Education. And, I mean, they're the ones that made the deal with Jimmy Carter. Hey, we'll support you if you create a Department of Education. So the NEA is very powerful. They are incredibly powerful. And she talked about that during her speech, about we're not going to let go of any power. We're not letting go of any resources, which means money, of course. So, and there is this huge entity out there that you're going to come up against. And, you know, fighting, for me, the individual laws at this point are, it's just kind of pointless to even fight them, because the only thing that they're really afraid of, they're not afraid of us fighting little laws like that. They're not afraid of that. That doesn't scare them. They know they're in charge. What they're afraid of is losing money. They are very much afraid of losing money.
Right. And the federal government, and that's the main thing. That's mm-hmm. why they went that way. But again, you're in the state of California.
Mm-hmm.
How much of the, maybe somebody can answer this, how much money does the federal government actually give the school system here in California? And does the state of California need the money?
Well, I mean, I think that I've heard you say it before. What do they do if the federal government decides to take money away from us in California? Then what do they do? What does California do?
Raise your gas taxes.
Exactly. Exactly. They'll get it by hook or by crook. They'll get it one way or another. We're not going to get out of it. And so, to me, it's just a losing battle. And it's very sad, because there's so many young people with kids in school right now who are really, they want to fight this, and they're mobilized to do it. And I hate to see them wasting their time on things that aren't going to accomplish really anything in the long run. Because the truth is that, you know, it's like, this author, Adam Latz, from the Washington Post, he said that, you know, yeah, oh, people want to feel like they're, the conservatives want to feel like this is a war on American education, but truthfully, the conservatives lost that war a long time ago.
Yeah,
and then he goes on in this article, of course, he's comparing conservatives to the KKK, which is, you know, ridiculous, and I just kind of skip over that part, but the main thought that runs through that whole article is that they're angry for conservatives trying to take away their resources. So the one thing that they, that's the thing they're afraid of. They're afraid of losing resources. So if you want to do something, if you really want to be effective, you have to take away their resources.
Yeah. You know, and I looked up the Moms for Liberty website. It has some good information on there. And there certainly isn't, God bless them all for fighting this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But again, you know, the Title IX situation, again, one of the questions they have on their website, meaning Moms for Liberty, is a parent asking, well, what if the school just decides to do a policy that is similar to what Biden had passed?
Mm-hmm.
What if it's similar? Then what do you do? Because you're talking about policy or you're not talking about law. And again, the elephant in the room is we have a gazillion laws.
Right.
That create this horrible situation we have in the California school system.
Mm-hmm.
How does that get fixed with a Title IX lawsuit? How does that get fixed? How do you stop, you know, drag queen story time? I mean, how do you stop a situation where it's a law that a boy can play sports? It's not mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with anything other than the law that's been passed in California. And the only way you can get rid of law in California is to rescind that law with
right.
a referendum or a right. constitutional amendment or something like that. So I'm trying to get the correlation here.
Well, we can also, I mean, look, let's watch. We need to watch what's happening in Huntington Beach right now because they're, I think it's their city, their, I don't know if it's the city council or the Board of Supervisors.
It's
I don't
city
know.
Council, I think.
They voted.
It's Huntington Beach. It wouldn't.
Yeah, Huntington Beach, and the city council. So they have voted to make a policy that they're not going to abide by AB 1955.
Oh.
So we will see what happens with that.
Well,
let's watch that and see if that, you know, how that goes. See if they get sued. I could see Bonta coming in with a lawsuit over that one, but we'll see.
Okay, we do have Leslie on the line. How are you, Leslie? Give us your thought process here.
Hey, Terry. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Santangelos, I appreciate you guys. There's so much to say, but the Title IX lawsuit might not make a huge difference. You asked what impact that would have and how that would change things. It might not make a huge difference. But what it is it's a huge win and a step in the right direction that draws attention, because the amount of Americans who are just asleep and have no clue what's going on because all they do is get their media from Facebook and whatever else might not even have a clue that legislation like this got passed.
Well, let me stop you there, and this is just for clarity. First of all, I want to say I respect what you're doing. I think it's you got to fight. And but the question I have is that this only affects federal law. This only affects money. That's what the Title IX lawsuit does. My question is, first of all, with the AB 1955 Assembly Bill, that one is a little more closer to home, and I'd love to get your take on that. But is there a PI on that yet? Because without a preliminary injunction, it's just... It could be months before that happens. Is there a PI that has happened on the on the case? Because I would imagine there's a case now against AB 1955. Is that correct?
There is a case. There's not a preliminary injunction yet, unless another one's been filed. But the case that I am on and part of, and Anderson High School just joined, that case just got assigned a judge. So we are not to a decision yet.
Gotcha. Okay, so Now, with that particular case, is there a time frame that you have or a time frame your attorneys have given you before they introduce a PI?
No. I mean, I haven't heard anything.
Okay. Because that's new to it.
Jackie is so much more involved with that. I've been so focused on the school boards lately. She's been really diving into it deeper than I have. So she would be a great guest to have and talk to about the details of the lawsuit. But it basically, and I hear what Patricia's saying about fighting each and every law being a losing battle. But again, the same reasoning stands for why Katie and I are bending over backwards, and so many others who are fighting locally and fighting within the state. Fighting in California seems like a losing battle, but there are so many amazing Moms for Liberty in California, all over California. And the reason we don't mind exhausting ourselves fighting one battle at a time is because that's how you wake people up. You make them aware of what's going on and what's happening. And you wake them up to the issues. And sometimes it takes bending over backwards and killing yourself to fight something that you know you're going to lose. We knew AB 1955 was going to pass, and we sat through both hearings.
Oh, well,
because it wakes people up.
Well, yeah. The thing is, okay, I get that. But I think we have how many school districts here in the county?
25 in Shasta County.
And we've got three that are adhering to what Anderson wants to do. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so again, I guess my question is, okay, because, and I don't need details on the case. In fact, I got up this morning, I left you a message. I read your case. And, you know, it's 51 pages. And I confess I didn't read all of it because my eyes were getting blurry, yeah. And so, but anyway, the point is that The federal case is good for waking up people. I agree with that. I think that Moms for Liberty did a good job because that'll wake up some people. But the pedal to the metal is really California. I mean, again, how do you get rid of the 30 laws that are horrendous? How do you do that by going one at a time? And I'll tell you right now that with California, when it comes to AB 1955, they'll use the 2003 law, SB 71, they'll use the 2011 law, SB 48, and they'll use the 2013 law, AB 1266, and say, sorry, this is California law, and, you know, as far as the federal money goes, I mean, they have no jurisdiction over getting rid of California law or California money. So what say you, what would be your position on that?
Well, you're right, but we know that on taking this on, that we're playing the long game, and we know that it's going to have to go above California. We are probably going to get courts that are going to rule in favor, but it's not going to stop there, and we know we're in for the long fight, and if we have to take it to the Supreme Court and get a ruling on the constitutionality of it, then that's what we're going to do, because it's not a constitutional law. Parents have the right to be involved in decisions affecting their kids. And we'll take it wherever we have to. The other thing that I think, and my other answer to that, is fighting one law at a time, knowing there's 30 more, and knowing that anytime we put in a local policy, their response is something like AB 1955, because they are scared of local government and they are scared of local control.
We're talking about something that doesn't really have some teeth. I know that Patricia has something where she wants to weigh in. I want to have a conversation here. Go ahead, Patricia.
Well, I want to say that the in 1983, this is over 40 years ago, the NEA's annual publication that they put out, Today's Education, it's called. And they stated in there that the National Education Association believes that communications between certificated personnel and students must be legally privileged. and the NEA urges its affiliates to aid in seeking legislation that provides this privilege and protects both educators and students. Now, you want to talk about a long game? That's a long game. That's over 40 years ago they came out with that, and they started pushing that over 40 years ago. And look where we are today. That's a long game. So they have been pushing this stuff and more, a lot more, for a very long time. The NEA has been playing the long game ever since they let John Dewey be the honorary president in 1932. They've been pushed that he was a socialist, and he said that the best vehicle for bringing socialism to America was the public school system, and he tirelessly worked the long game his whole life to bring it there, and he was in places of high influence and power, and he ran the School of Education in Chicago University. So this is the stuff that you're up against. I mean, a law here and a law there. You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if they just make these laws just to keep you distracted from what's really happening here.
You think they do?
It's a big distraction. It's like, yeah, throw another law at these people and keep them distracted and busy thinking about fighting these little laws and getting nowhere. And in the long run, we're getting what we need done. And I mean, they're in control. The NEA is in control of what they teach teachers in teachers' colleges. That was one of their first, the first things that they tried to do. That was the first point of them, was to get a hold of these teachers. They said, well, we have all these great ideas about socialism, and they didn't like individualism. They don't like it. And they wanted to fight against that. And so they said the problem is that we have all these teachers who grew up with Judeo-Christian values, and they're not following the lead that we're giving them. And so what we need to do is we need to start having control over who gets in our teachers' colleges and what they're taught while they're there. So now we get rid of, so say we just get rid of all these laws. What are you going to do about the teachers? Because the teachers are still going to be teaching what they believe. And when we have schools full of teachers who've been trained in these types of colleges that have taught them about critical race theory and white privilege and LGBTQ agenda, they're still going to be teaching that to your children whether you like it or not, and you're not there, so you don't even know what's going on. So, that's my feeling about the fight. You know, it's a nice fight. It's nice that people are finally waking up. I'm glad. And if this is what you have to do to get them to wake up, then go for it. I mean, I totally support that. But once they're awake, let's put them to work on really something that can really change. Something they can accomplish. Something that's going to really make a difference and not take, maybe 40 years. But, you want to talk about a long game. The NEA and the teachers' associations are used to the long games, and they don't care because they know they always win.
And I want to add this, and then Leslie, feel free to give us some feedback on that. The schools will not be notified. This is according to the Moms for Liberty website. The schools won't be notified by the district, even if the district decides to, or people are going to the schools. There is no district notification. There is none. So it has to be the folks going into their school boards, and there's a couple of steps on your website, and maybe you can give those. If you want to hold on till after the break, that'd be good. I can take a break right now if you want to do that. Up to you.
Yeah, actually, I've got my kids in the car, and we're heading to church, so I don't know that I have that much time.
Okay.
But
well, then,
if anybody wants to contact us, they can, and we'll walk them through that. I know it sounds like we're fighting a losing battle, and I know that it sounds hopeless, but you know what? If we don't do anything, then,
I don't think that people want you not to do anything. I think that people are tired of things happening without solutions. And I would hope that the parents of Shasta County, since you guys have done this hard work, we get more than just 3 districts out of 24 that are paying attention. So anyway, with
Absolutely.
That, thank you very much for the call. And with that, we're going to go off to our break. And time has come.
4:51.
Get her done!
Get her done! Let it go!
Train, train, history. Don't you tell me that it's raining when you're pissing on our flag. Your fiery, peaceful protest, don't let this powder keg. This here ice cream eating, mumbling, stumbling fool has run our train right off the track. Let's take our country back.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Wind River Resort and Casino is about to make your summer sizzle
with our $100,000 Bronco Bucks play to win draw.
Swipe your River Clerk card daily to win free drawing entries or other instant prizes.
Your Thursdays just got way more thrilling with our weekly drawings kick off at 7 p.m.
Mark your calendars for the final drawing on August 29th for your shot at cold hard cash.
For a 2024 Ford Bronco.
For complete details, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-UWIN. Find your moments at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hiya everybody, RC with Tobacco and Brew, and this month's Cigar of the Humidor, El Pulpo by AJ Fernandez. Receiving a 94 rating, El Pulpo is outstanding, balanced, layered, bold, are just a few words used to describe the powerful character of such a cigar from the factory of AJ Fernandez. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well.
All right. Yes, teach your children well. Yes. Good job, Sally Lou. You made us all laugh in here when we heard that song. And I know you're laughing right now because of what I just said. Patricia, we had talked about the long game and you found something. I mean, you know, this. Let's get real about the long game here. I mean, how much time do we have, right? Now, you have something there that you read to me on the break, and I would like you to read that to the folks.
All right. In 1970, the NEA president, George Fisher, told an NEA assembly that, quote, a good deal of work has been done to begin to bring about uniform certification controlled by the united profession in each state. With these new laws, we will finally realize our 113-year-old dream of controlling who enters, who stays, and who leaves the teaching profession. We can also control the teacher training institutions. End quote. So you want to talk about a long game. 113 years is a pretty long game.
That was 113 years before 1970,
right? Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
I can say that word, can I? Yeah, I can say that word.
Okay.
I have to check. I got to be careful. I just was informed that another word, meaning urinate, you can't use that. I can use urinate, though, because urinate is...
I think it's an old law.
You do,
yeah? Okay. Yeah, I don't think anybody's...
That old law is really a bit of a feces.
What are we supposed to say? Pee-pee?
Maybe. That is amazing. See, that's the thing. We have... There's a lot of passion. There is a lot of let's go get them. But then, you know, it's like, I don't even know what to say. 1999, AD 537, permits teachers and students to be openly proclaim and display their homosexuality, bisexuality, and transsexuality. Mm-hmm. That was a law, Assembly Bill in 1999.
99, yep. That's right.
I mean, you know, here's the thing. We can all raise our fist in the air and fight the good fight while they throw crap at us all the time to keep us busy.
Right.
Now, Dominic, you had a thought on this during the break.
Well, I was reading the other day at how when the Supreme Court ruled against mandatory union dues for public employees. So in this case, it would be the teachers, where the union dues are being taken out of their paycheck, and do they really know that they can tell their personnel office and tell the union that they don't want the union dues taken out of their paycheck? And that was a ruling by the Supreme Court in 2018. When I was working, I was a public sector employee with the state of California. And the union dues were, this is back in the 70s and 80s, union dues were taken out. And I could remember thinking, boy, I could use this, whatever it was, you know. And I don't know what teachers' union dues are nowadays. I would think that it's about $80, if not more. Could be $120. But I could remember thinking, I'm a good employee. I know I'm a good employee. I'm not going to deliberately do anything to jeopardize my employment. And I don't really see a benefit that this union dues is doing for me. And so, but I couldn't get out of it. And then what I think the Supreme Court did was say, okay, you do not have to pay full dues. It was called fair share. You still have to pay a fair share of the amount because this union is representing you. That was kind of a sloppy ruling. And in 2018, the Supreme Court just said no. They said that it violates First Amendment right of an individual because these unions are affecting public policy. They're lobbying and with your money. And they're lobbying issues that you don't agree with, and so you don't have to pay union dues, and you still the Supreme Court said you still need to be represented if something happens. That was interesting, and I know I was talking to a board of supervisor about this, and the board supervisor said, we cannot. California did a law that said your employer or their representatives cannot say anything about this law. That was California. That's how the unions put pressure on the state of California to pass a law that says your silence. Patrick Jones, Kevin Cry, none of them can say to the county employees that you have a right not to have union dues taken out of your paycheck. They can't do it. It's against the law in California. But I could say it. You could say it, Terry. And my wife could say it. Mm-hmm. We could say it during our 3 months. Isn't that something? And so on a local issue, what I'm getting at is if you want to affect just a small change in taking the resources away from a union, get out of paying dues.
Stop paying dues. If you're a teacher, stop paying your union dues. Stop it.
Well, see, that's again, that's I could have heard that before, but I don't remember hearing it before.
It's
You know, as far as the resource, I mean, again, that we have to find some common sense things. A lot of, see, here's another thing too. Notoriety is not the way that we get something done.
You know, saying
the notoriety of, you know, we're a this or we're a that or we're doing this and we're doing that isn't the way you get things done.
Right.
The action of what you just said, Dominic, is the way we get things done.
Right.
And when you talk again about the long game, and do we have a long game left?
No.
We have a long, because now we're talking about, I don't even know. Well, 1970 was what, 54 years ago?
Who was it?
Oh, man. Gosh. Oh, jeez.
54 years ago. Okay.
I didn't come here
so
to get
54
depressed.
Plus 117. All right, so you're looking at what, 170 years of these guys trying to do this? That's a long game.
That's a long game.
I mean, you know, okay, so let's say best case scenario, we got a long game of 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have 5 years.
No.
Not in the state of California,
mm-mm.
You don't.
Mm-mm.
And again, nobody is answering the question of what do we do about these laws. That's your problem. You have to defund. Yes?
Yes, defund.
Defund.
That's all you can do. And I mean, you know, if you have enough parents, let's say you have 20 kids who live on your street who are all school-aged and none of them are going to public school, it isn't going to be long before those parents start saying, why are we paying all these taxes? They're going to stop passing these bond measures. And things are going to start changing financially for the public school system. Eventually, it will affect their ADA money, and that will also. Then you're going to see the dragon rear its ugly head. Then you're going to see what kind of power the NEA actually does have. They have so much power, it's frightening. And you talk about another long game. The NEA started talking about a one-world government and the need to educate through that one-world government back in 1942. So this has been going on for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
You can't undo that.
Yeah, you really can't, you know, and that's the thing, but the defunding idea, I think, is really something that's, you know, that's important.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, again, if you have a question or comment, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. So, it looks like we have a caller on the line. I think that we really have to start looking at this thing to where we have more time in 1942
yeah, right.
going forward
right.
than we have in 2024. Okay, this is Dave calling in. Dave, what say you?
Well, I've heard about this issue for a long time, and you guys know way more about it than me, but it just seems the only solution is to get – people need to get their kids out of the public school, right? And like you were saying, that would dry up their funding. And so there needs to be some kind of a mass movement to make that happen. And I just don't see what other option there is, right?
That's right. I agree. Yeah, you're right. That's exactly right. That's what needs to happen. And instead of wasting time and money on pointless lawsuits, we could be using that kind of time and money to find creative ways to help people who really can't be homeschooling their kids, they can't afford private school. We could find ways to help people like that so that they can get their kids out of the public school system. And, you know, because the public school system is a perfect place for you if you're a socialist, you're raising your children to be good socialists, and, you know, your religion is secular humanism, then that's a great place for your kids. But if those are not your values, then you're right. The only thing to do is get your kids out of there, starve them of their money, and start fighting back against these bond measures and these taxes that they keep putting on us. It's more and more all the time, and yet the kids are less and less educated every year. The money is not helping to educate anybody's kids, and we are bent under the burden of this public school system. And the best thing to do is get your kids out. You are exactly right. You get it. That's awesome.
You know, there's an organization, Dran Reese is the CEO of it. It's called Public School Exit. All you have to do is go to publicschoolexit.com, publicschoolexit.com. They supply help. They supply, they're working on finances for folks who need them to get their kids out of school. If that's the case, and that's your choice that you want to do that, okay, you also can call her office at 1-888-725-8654, 1-888-725-8654. So there, you know, if that's your choice, you have someone who can help you. But to me, I mean, one of the things that we're talking about here is how much money are we spending on all these lawsuits? How much money is really going out there? How many millions of dollars have been out there? And gee whiz, I mean, unless the attorneys are working free, and I don't really fully believe that. I mean, it could be discounted or just for, I know we've seen what people say, well, it's pro bono, but really and truly, there still has to be some funds to pay their staff. So, you know, and that's where all the money is. Anyway, you've got a thought there, Dominic.
I read that sometime in the near future, there's going to be 4 school bond measures on the ballot.
Dear God.
For voters to say yes or no. Local.
Say local. No.
4 different school districts.
November, really?
I think in November, yeah.
Maybe somebody can clarify that. That's amazing.
Well, I think it was just approved by the Board of Supervisors to go forward to put it on the ballot.
Oh.
That school districts requested it. You know, those $54 million school bonds for facilities and so on.
Uh-huh.
And
it's a long game.
And you know that.
So they can keep training those
good
little
communities.
That's coming
up locally. I mean, that happens all the time.
Yeah, right.
We're a homeowner and they take money out of our taxes.
Yes.
Yeah, our property taxes.
For Anderson School District. We're not in Anderson, but the way the lines are drawn. And homeowners feel the brunt of that. You know, if you're not a homeowner, you rent and you have 5 kids in school, you don't pay any taxes
locally
to go to that school for facility repair and so on.
Right.
It's the homeowners that feel the burden, and that's just by design, that's how it is.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how, you know, and again, I know there's a lot of organizations out there, and they mean well.
Yeah.
But how about we just start saying no?
Uh-huh.
And from what I understand, from what I understand, the Anderson School District has already said no to this.
Hmm.
So if they said no already, then okay. It's sort of like, you know, come and take it, right? So I mean, for the life of me, I'm trying to see the problem is we have all these fights that sound good. They just really sound good.
It
sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
What good does it do?
None. It doesn't do any good because people have fought previously too, maybe not as much as they are now, but people have fought and it doesn't, nothing changes. I mean, the things, you know, but the core that people need to understand is that the NEA is in control, and the NEA is controlling how teachers are chosen and how they're educated, and the teachers are the ones that are giving that information. Because it's like John Dewey had written in his pedagogy creed for the public school system, and he's kind of known as the father of public education, and he wrote about that they needed to train the school teachers to realize that they are change agents. That's what they are, change agents. And he said that they are the actual ministers of the true God. Now, this guy did not believe in God. He was an atheist, and he was a socialist, and he made no secret of that. And so what is he talking about? He believed in statism, and he did not believe in American individualism at all. And so these are all the same values that the NEA has, and they've been pushing forever.
170 years.
Yeah, they're true believers. They really think that the best thing for all of us is to be socialist and one world government, yeah. And that's what they believe. And so, yeah, so there's no, I don't think there's any way. I mean, now, let's see, they adopted in 2018 a resolution acknowledging the existence of white supremacy culture as a primary root cause of institutional racism, structural racism and white privilege. So this is what your children are getting. The NEA starts pushing this out to all their unions. They start pushing this out to their, what they call their representatives. And the Department of Education starts pushing that out in curriculum. And then the teachers, you know, they're the ones that ultimately push it out to the kids. And this is what's happening all the time. Our kids don't know what they're being fed. They have no idea. They're not going to come home and tell you, oh, my teacher's a communist. They don't know this. They don't know. You don't know half the stuff that goes on with your kids in school. So,
yeah, you know, I'm just trying to, and one of the challenges is it's hard when you're passionate about something and then you find out, oh, crap.
Uh-huh.
That's a tough one.
Yeah,
you know, or you think you're going to win, and then you go, oh, crap. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just that you and also, even as far as the Title IX case goes, and that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. However, you still have to go back to your schools.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, knowing that Title IX passed, and you can mm-hmm. do that, mm-hmm. we got 3 out of 24.
Right.
Well, because, okay, well, if the people are waking up, where are they waking up at? Okay, because we need to wake them up.
Yeah,
I think it's important that you sign on to this. I think there's merit to that.
Sure.
But again, you know, you're not gonna solve the cancer with a Band-Aid.
Right.
And that's been the whole problem here. Yeah. And in this case, 100 cancers with 100 Band-Aids.
Right.
Or maybe 101 now. I mean, here's the other thing. I mean, I don't know if people get this or not, and we've talked about it 1,000 times. 33 Democrats in the Senate mm-hmm. of California and 7 Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
63 Democrats in the Assembly and mm-hmm. 17 Republicans, 4 of which vote with the Democrats, which really makes the number 67-13.
All right.
And again, the spawn of Satan as our governor, mm-hmm. who creates all these laws, signs all these laws, signs this stuff into law.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know. Let's look at the long game. Mm-hmm. Well, gee whiz. How do you look at a long game when they can pass a law
mm-hmm.
within a matter of days?
Right.
Within That's a matter right. of days.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they do. They do. And we in Shasta County know that better than anybody. How long did it take them to decide that you can't have a vote count by hand?
A couple of days.
Boom. There you go. It's like, yeah.
Well, maybe we should play the long game on that one.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
right,
I mean,
okay.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
So we have a couple of different, I mean, you know, the remedy would create more representation. That's the remedy. It's always more representation. The problem is, how do you do that with 40 million people? And that's a problem for a whole different subject, a whole different program. But right now, you know, there's a, as a parent, our kids went to private school. They went to Christian school.
Mm-hmm.
And I know your kids were homeschooled.
Right.
And I know a lot of these people who are strong in this fight in Shasta County, they send their kids to private schools. They even
sure.
send them to public schools.
Sure.
Okay, so, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing as far as wanting to fight for this.
Mm-hmm.
But someplace we've got to go to reality, not just passion or, you know, what notoriety you get as a person or
mm-hmm.
those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about, you know, how we establish what we need to establish.
Right. Right. And taking your kids out of school and finding another way, if enough people do that, that would be the greatest act of passive resistance that we could possibly have, because they will start losing money. The next thing that needs to happen is we need to get a president in the White House that will take down the Department of Education.
Hey, Terry.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing is to... Yeah, to do that. We just had a little bit of a distraction here. Anyway, yeah, I think you're right, Patricia. I mean, the main thing we have to start doing here is looking at the way to find the solutions, and there seems to be just a couple. Dominic, you had a thought.
Oh, at the end, I'd like to talk about the fundraiser coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if you'd like to do that a little bit now, that'd be fine.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Sure. This is the last week to buy your seat at the Shasta County Republican Assembly's first fundraiser that will be held Saturday the 17th starting at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, at the Elks Lodge here in Reading. And, if you need to buy a ticket, if you didn't see the flyer yet, you could call my number. It's, 805-458-6999, and we'll get you a ticket. And you can also walk in, but the Elks kind of don't like too many people doing that. But you can walk in also and get a seat. We're going to have some extra seats available for walk-ins. And it is a fundraiser. It's going to be an auction done by Patrick Jones and
Chris Kelstrom.
And it's going to be a fun event. There's a lot of public figures going to be there, people running for office, good eats by Smokin' Joe's. We're going to have brisket and chicken, if you want chicken, and a California salad, some kind of special salad that Smokin' Joe makes with a special dressing, couple of dressing. And bread and, you know, the likes. So I think it's going to be a fun event, and we have a lot of nice things to auction. So come down. You don't have to bid if you don't want. Just come down and support us.
Yeah, if you want to get a table, the tables are only $300, and you get that's for a table of eight, which is great. That includes your dinner, of course, and you also get 200 tickets for the drawings. That's 200 tickets for the drawings. We have a $100 table, $200 table, and a $300 table, and it'll be really fun. But there's some great stuff there at the event. Come and enjoy that. The California Republican Assembly is a great group of people in wanting to elect conservative
local candidates.
Right. And the thing that's really good about that is, again, good emphasis on local, because as we look at that, a lot of the larger groups that support or endorse really don't focus on local, and we really need to do that. I mean, as evidenced by this program today.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So I think and that'll be, again, that'll be Saturday, this coming Saturday, August the 17th at the Elks Lodge. Doors open at 6. At 4, and dinner's at 6. So I think that in wrapping this up, I want to get, we got about 2 minutes, so Patricia, bring us home, my dear.
Well, I don't know what to say. I think that if your kids are in public school, you do need to get activated. Leslie's right. You need to wake up and see what's going on, and I'm grateful for people like Leslie and Katie and Moms for Liberty for bringing it out there all the time. They're very faithful to bring it to the forefront and make sure people know what's going on with their kids in the public school system. And don't just be interested if you have kids. Be interested if you're a taxpayer. You should care what's going on, because this is your money that's supporting this stuff. Your money is going to pay people to train children to be socialists. And so we need to really come to the aid of these parents who have these kids. There are lots of parents that need help, financial help, to get their kids out. Let's do what we can, and let's all fight together and make progress in a real way where we really can make a difference, and that is to take away the resources from the public school system.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. It's not our bill.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.